We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media on the proposed transition into the new jail facility being discussed by Greene County officials. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said October 8th, the State Commission of Corrections, and I quote, wants the transition team of corrections officers to be on site during the construction, end quote. The team would be housed in a trailer at the cost of $28,000 a year, Groden said. The transition team is made up of six officers, and they are responsible for rewriting the jail operational protocols, which necessitates full access to the facility. Groden said, and I quote, all the procedures of the old jail, that all gets chucked out the window, end quote. All new protocols set by the transition team must be approved by the Commission of Corrections. Despite objections raised by legislators about renting the trailer, Groden said it will arrive in November. Groden said, and I quote, the substantial completion date for the jail is January 2021, end quote, and jail personnel can then begin to move into the building. Those detained by the county will be housed at the new facility beginning in July 2021. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Sarah Trafton reports in Columbia Green Media that a 14-year-old Greenville High School student faces a probation hearing after allegedly threatening other students on a school bus October 8th. Quote, as he reached their seating when getting on at the high school in the afternoon, he stated, quote, I am going to kill all of you little kids one day, unquote, said Amy Richards, the mother of a 10-year-old student who was on the bus. She kept her child out of school the next day because of the incident and is complaining about the situation. Greenville students from kindergarten to 12th grade share the same buses, largely without monitors. Quote, we can't have a full-time mental health counselor from Greene County, but we can repave the elementary school parking lot, get a new track, and put in a new playground, unquote, Richards said. Quote, we have a planning team for students with high intelligence. Why not have a planning team for bullying or children with mental health issues, unquote. Greenville School District Superintendent Tammy J. Sutherland said, quote, members of the administrative team called the reporting families as soon as they were made aware of the concerns. The district leadership team worked with our school resource officer and other representatives from the Greene County Sheriff's Office to make certain that the investigation was initiated as quickly and thoroughly as possible. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Kayla Harris is reporting for the Times Union. Legislation has been introduced in Albany to require all New York schools to report student body immunization rates to the State Department of Health. The department would monitor trends in the data and create a searchable public database. State Senator Brad Holyman, a Manhattan Democrat and a sponsor of the bill, said, and I quote, parents have a right to know whether their child's fellow students are up to date on all their required vaccines, end quote. Holyman was also a sponsor of the legislation that made New York the fifth state in the country to ban religious exemptions for vaccine requirements for school-aged children. The pending bill stipulates that the health department would track trends in immunization data, including exemptions over time and areas where individuals might be more vulnerable to diseases. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Kenneth C. Crow II and Brendan J. Lyons report for the Times Union in Albany that Republican candidate Thomas E. Rail dropped out of the Troy mayoral race this week. After a meeting with Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin and the county's Operations Director Richard Christ, who reportedly pressured him to give up his campaign. The story says McLaughlin and Christ allegedly threatened Riel's future political aspirations and his employment as a state Senate Republican aide. McLaughlin was a state assembly person before resigning weeks after being sanctioned in 2017 for sexually harassing a female legislative aide. Christ has consulted with Republicans for many years and was placed on unpaid leave from March to August amid an FBI probe. Real declined to comment on the meeting, but his name remains on the Republican and conservative lines and absentee ballots in the November election. That leaves two Democrats in the election, Mayor Patrick Madden and Rodney Wilshire, who lost a primary to Madden earlier in the year. Republicans are backing him, though. Wilshire previously lost to Madden by 200 votes in the primary and by 25 votes in 2015. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union.
Amanda Purcell is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Hudson Common Council will vote next week on whether to authorize a settlement agreement with the federal government that would establish a timeline for the city to comply with the provisions of the Americans with Disabilities Act. The ADA became law in 1990 and prohibits discrimination based on disability. A complaint was filed by three city residents alleging a lack of accommodations in public spaces, arguing the city's sidewalks are inaccessible and the entrances to City Hall, Promenade Hill Park, and other locations are also inaccessible. Following an investigation, the city was found to be out of compliance in several categories. Under the settlement agreement, the mayor must appoint an ADA compliance officer within 30 days. Common Council President Thomas DiPietro said October 7th, the compliance officer will deal with complaints and determine how best to address them. The Common Council will next meet at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, October 15th at City Hall. Editors note, DiPietro is a WGXE volunteer programmer. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
John W. Berry reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that Giancarlo Laverius is the latest Hudson Valley County legislator to be criticized for comments and actions regarding women. Republican and Democratic leaders in the Dutchess County Legislature are saying Laverius should resign from his position representing Poughkeepsie in the legislature because of a YouTube video in which he says he once hit a woman. The video, recorded earlier this year, surfaced this week, days after Laverius was criticized for vulgar comments he posted on Facebook. County legislator and minority leader Hannah Black criticized her fellow Democrat, saying, quote, "A video surfaced late today showing legislator Laverius admitting to hitting his girlfriend. Domestic violence is unacceptable. We take this very seriously and call for legislator Laverius's resignation," unquote. Republican Dutchess County legislator chairperson A. Greg Pulver agreed. Quote, "I don't know how he could ever defend this. I find it appalling," unquote, he said. Laverius did not return messages from the Journal with his side of the story before its deadline. But Dutchess County Democratic Committee Chairperson Elisa Sumner said she spoke to him, and he claimed the video was scripted. About the vulgar comments on Facebook, he explained to News 12, quote, "These are things you did as a youth, right?" unquote. Dutchess County legislator Joel Tyner resigned in January after accusations of sexual harassment, while Dutchess County legislator Joe Incoronato was censured in 2018 because of 2016 and 2018 comments in which he said women are more susceptible to sexual assaults under the influence of alcohol or drugs. This week, across the river, Ulster County legislator Hector Rodriguez refused to resign after an independent investigator found that sexual harassment allegations against the New Paltz Democrat were, quote, "credible," unquote, and in violation of county policy. Laverius is up for re-election November 5th against Margaret Kakish. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
Heather Bellow is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle. An adjunct professor employed by Bard College at Simmons Rock resigned October 8th, citing the mishandling of a reported attack on a student of color last month as her reason. Julia Kirst, who taught in the language department, said administrators have failed to confront racism at the Great Barrington campus, and she said there is a dismissive attitude in general toward the student's report of being knocked unconscious and dragged into the woods on campus. Parents of some students have called the assault a hoax, Chris said. The 18-year-old woman reported the assault to campus security just after 2 p.m. on September 27th. The incident followed reports of the N-word scrawled on a chalkboard and a swastika was found etched into a bathroom stall. Local and state police, as well as Berkshire District Attorney's Office, are investigating the attack and whether it was a hate crime. The U.S. Attorney's Office also has been notified. The school administration this week announced its plan to hire an independent investigator to review the matter, but Vice Provost Susan Lyon said she could not speak to specifics and I quote, out of respect for the survivor of the open investigation, end quote. The school is currently on a scheduled fall semester break. And you can read the full story in the Berkshire Eagle.
The Altamont Enterprise reports that Rensselaerville officials are crafting the town's first ever solar energy law and held a public meeting October 1st to hear comments. Questions were raised about whether solar panels will still be allowed on homes, they will, and about rules requiring barbed wire fences around solar farms, low glare panels, and how much solar power will be enough for Rensselaerville. Quote, we need regulation, however, we cannot overregulate, unquote, said Jason Ralph, the Southern Albany County Town's deputy supervisor. Ralph said he's, quote, not sure at this point if we will hold another meeting or if we will simply make some changes and present it to the board. It will be up to the committee in regards to how to proceed, unquote. Read more about this story in the Altamont Enterprise.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, rain is likely mainly after 1 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 57 degrees. Thursday night, rain is likely mainly before 7 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low of around 46. And on Friday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 57 degrees. Friday night, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low of around 48. So there you have your weather update brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM. Radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Listen out for these live broadcasts and extra web streams on the WGXE program schedule during the coming week. On Friday, October 11th, from 2 to 5 p.m., the City of Hudson Board of Estimate and Apportionment will live stream its budget workshop, which will be a review session. The mayor, city treasurer, and president of the Hudson Common Council make up the Board of Estimate and Apportionment. You can tune in by going to WGXC.org, click on Listen, then scroll through the drop-down player to find the dedicated web stream. On Friday, October 11th, from 7 to 8 p.m., tune in for a special remote broadcast of Sound Art Revisited, a discussion with author and musician Alan Licht, with a panel featuring composer and sound artist Anaya Lockwood, Wave Farm Executive Director Galen Joseph Hunter, Wave Farm Artist in Residence Grant Smith, and sound artist and educator Zach Poff. The event, which takes place at Time and Space Limited in Hudson, will be broadcast live on WGXC 90.7 FM and streamed live online at wavefarm.org/listen. On Friday, October 11th, from 9 to 11 p.m., WGXC Live will carry a live stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Performing will be Mother Fletcher with an eclectic and unique mix of ska, rock, and reggae. Tune in to 90.7 FM to hear it on the air, or go to WGXC.org, click on Listen at the top of the page, and scroll down to find the live web stream. See theavalonlounge.com for more information. On Saturday, October 12th, starting at 10 p.m., WGXC Live will carry a live stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. In the first of a series of community dance parties called Pan-African Jam, DJ Neva of WGXC's Music for the Masses brings Felebration, a worldwide birthday party for Fela Anikolapo Kuti, to Catskill, with a night of Afrobeat from all corners of the globe. The event will feature a jam session with local percussionists. There should be a live web stream at WGXC.org after 10 p.m. Click on Listen at the top of the page and scroll down to find the live web stream. The show will also air on 90.7 FM after midnight. See theavalonlounge.com for more information. Be sure to check our program schedule for new listings of public events, community meetings, and other dedicated web streams, which may not have been posted at the time this announcement was recorded. You can also download the free Wavefarm app to listen on your phone or iDevice, or use it to become a broadcast partner with WGXC.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Thursday, October 10th, a collaboration with the City of Hudson Senior Center and the Hudson Area Library will focus on discovering the power of the inner self through the practice of daily writing. Taught by author, artist, educator, and social activist Maureen McNeil. Registration is limited at programs@hudsonarealibrary.org and is on a first-come, first-served basis. Congressperson Antonio Delgado will be interviewed by K.T. Tobin, Associate Director of the Benjamin Center at the State University of New York at New Paltz from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. The focus of this public conversation will be on Congressperson Delgado's early experience in Congress and his priorities going forward as he represents and serves constituents in his 11-county district. There will be time for questions from the audience. Undocumented Immigrants, Struggles in Our Time, Documentary and Discussion, sponsored by the Mountaintop Immigrant Support Network and held at the Mountaintop Library in Tannersville from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. On Friday, October 11th, the last day to register in person for the general election. If registering by mail, the application must be postmarked by October 11th and received by the Board of Elections no later than October 16th. Also, deadline for a change of address for the general election. The Greene County Office Building is located at 411 Main Street, Catskill, and the Columbia County Office Building is at 401 State Street in Hudson. The City of Hudson Board of Estimate and Apportionment Budget Workshop Review Session will be held at Hudson City Hall from 2:30 to 5 p.m. Ever wonder why our Catskill terrain looks so different from one area to another? Join local scientists and authors Robert and Johanna Titus for The Catskills in the Ice Age, a lesson in reading the Catskill landscape. The Tituses have made the study of the Catskill landscape their work for 30 years at the Mountaintop Historical Society on Route 23A in Palinville at 7 p.m. A TSL Bookspace event. Musician and artist Alan Licht visits Time and Space Limited on Columbia Street in Hudson to discuss the new edition of his work, Sound Art Revisited. Licht will be joined in conversation by composer and sound artist Anya Lockwood, Wavefarm artist-in-residence Grant Smith, sound artist and educator Zach Poff, and Wavefarm executive director Galen Joseph Hunter at 7 p.m. This event is being broadcast live on WGXC 90.7 FM in New York's Upper Hudson Valley and streamed live online on Wavefarm Radio. Panel and broadcast at 7 p.m., ticketed supper at 6:15.